Well, we're going to spend a little time this morning going over a little bit about believing. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. A little bit about believing. People believe and don't believe in a lot of different things. Now, there are all kinds of things that people believe in. You know, there are wives' tales of, well, if you mix these different herbs and stuff, and you drink it, you'll stop the hair growing out of your nose or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But there's all kinds of things that people believe in. People believe in the Easter Bunny. People believe in Santa Claus to a certain age, you know. There's all kinds of things. People at one time believed the world was flat. If you sailed out there too far, you'd maybe fall off the edge. You know, all different types of things that people believe in. And there's people that don't believe in things also, you know. You tell them something, oh, I don't believe in that. Believing is a big deal. We're going to see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Very familiar verse of scripture. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here we see, by believing, one of the factors here, by believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you get saved. You get eternal life. So that believing, whatever it is, it looks like it's worth something. If Tony said, hey, if you invest $100 in this stock, I guarantee you'll have $1 million next week. If it worked all the time, you'd say, hey, that $100 investment has worked out pretty good. Here it says, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, one of the two conditions here, we're going to have eternal life. That's whatever believing is, it sounds pretty good so far. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Another familiar verse of scripture. Believing is a big deal in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. You there, Brendan? Cool. Verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, referring to God's power, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So because of believing, we have the ability to operate the power of God that is available. Sounds pretty good. It's a nice arrangement. So believing is quite a big deal. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. So we can get eternal life because of using believing. We can operate the power of God. Chapter 9, verse 23. This is... Am I in the right verse? Chapter 9. Verse 23. Yep, that's the one. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, this is a father who was had asked Jesus Christ to heal his son, who was a lunatic, had put himself in fires, and he was withering away, he had lots of problems, and he asked Jesus Christ to help him. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Again, it sounds like a pretty big deal, whatever it is. Believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Being we're in the neighborhood, this is just a little bit about believing. Mark chapter 5, verse 34, Jesus was walking to go to heal a man's daughter, and en route some woman came and touched his clothing and got healed of this plague that she had for 12 years. And he finds out what happened, and he tells her in verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith or thy believing hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And then right afterwards, verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, referring to the man's daughter who they were walking to go help heal. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So there's a lot of things that believing does. And if we can find out what believing is, that would be helpful, be a blessing. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. It looks pretty, you like something. Yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to invest $100 and get $1 million a week later. That'd be nice. Yeah, I'd like to have eternal life. I'd like to, whatever I'm believing to see come to pass, it comes to pass. I'd like to have wholeness if I need it. But as we know, you can't just make things happen if they're not available. Like as much as you may want something to change, like maybe I didn't like my TV set, so I say, okay, God, make that TV set different. I think I'd end up in frustration. I pray every day my jokes get better. Nothing's happened yet. Must not be available. So we're going to where? Romans chapter 3. But people, like I said, people believe in all kinds of things. And it's not just that you can, believe. It's what you believe. A simple definition of believing, from what I understand of God's word, is, just a simple definition, it is to have confidence and trust in words that are true and reliable. To have confidence and trust in words that are true and reliable. People may have confidence and trust in certain words, but they may not be true and reliable, and therefore may not get great results. Like Adam, in the garden, God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the tree of the fruit of good and evil, the fruit of the tree of good and evil. I think you know what I mean. And as long as he believed that and stayed faithful to that, he was in pretty good shape in the garden. But another source of information came in through the serpent and said, hey, you can do that. And when you do, you're going to have your eyes open and see good and evil. And as you know, he eventually started, he partook and didn't get the results quite that he wanted. So it's not just believing in something or anything and you'll get results, because there's a lot of things that we can believe that will cause not the results they say. So it's got to be in words that are true and reliable. And believing is something that we do in our minds. It's an act of the will. It doesn't automatically happen. If it did, we'd be controlled. It's something that we do. It stems out of our brain. And it's an act of the will. We choose to do something. But it's not difficult, because little kids can believe, we can believe, if we can believe, anyway, can believe. It's not a difficult thing, it's just something that it's required by God to receive the things that his word says. So he doesn't force us to believe. In Romans chapter 3, it shows us it's not just a matter of believing anything, but it's believing what God has said to believe. And we're only going to read verse 1, but this section does deal with believing. It says, for what if some did not believe? It's referring to Israel and things that were going on. Shall their unbelief make the faith or believing of God without effect? I'm going to read it in the Working Translation. That same verse.
You sure it's Romans 3? Three.
Verse three.
Verse three, what did I say?
Verse one.
Three.
3:3? I'll read it again.
Okay. Oh, I see.
For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith or believing of God without effect? And in the working translation, it says, so what if some of them did not believe? Their unbelief will not make the foundation for the right way of believing from God inactive, will it? The word faith is, as you probably know, is a Greek word called pistis, and often it's translated believing or faith, and it's interchanged throughout the King James Version, sometimes with no rhyme or rhythm, but it comes from, both words are translated from pistis. Now there's a note on the word faith here for that verse. It says Greek pistis, it equals believing, faith. When it's used with the article here to set the believing spoken of here apart from believing all other kinds of information. The figure of speech metonymy is also used by which the believing, brackets the right way of believing as opposed to other ways of believing, is put for that upon which the believing rests or is founded. The words of God are rendered from a genitive of origin. Hence, this phrase may be rendered the foundation for the right way of believing from God. I know it's a mouthful, but basically there is believing that God sets forth for us to believe, things for us to, or words for us to set forth, and then there's everything else. So when we believe, all things are possible to those who believe, if they're believing what the Word of God says. So the part of what is believing, true believing, is believing that which God's Word says to believe. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. God does set forth for us what we should believe and what we should not believe. And the way he does this is with his written word. He does it with by a revelation, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. He does it at times via angels. Angels can come and give specific information to a person or a group of people. He does it with phenomenon. Remember Daniel with Belshazzar, and all of a sudden there was these words on the wall. It was information from God given. It's God's choosing as to how he does it. We have the written word of God available to us at our disposal at all times. We may or may not get other information from God at times. We could not. But if we do, if we get revelation concerning a situation, that's as much God's word as the written word of God. And if we believe that for what it says, we'll get those results. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So if we hear the truth of God's word and we believe it, we will get the results that those words say, whatever they may say. So the key is get the right words. I mean, there are a lot of people around the world that say they have the word of God. They'll say the Quran is the word of God. And they believe that. And they act upon it accordingly. Are they right? Well, I personally don't think so. But it's a great scripture. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. So part of what believing is we believe that what God has set forth as to be true. Chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. It's a confidence and trust in believing words that are true and reliable. Chapter 4 and verse 1. says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith or believing in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, even they shall enter into my wrath, rest. Although the works, the rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So the word of God can be presented, the truth of God's word can be presented, and those who believe it will enter into the rest that God makes available, and those who say, nah, I don't believe that, it doesn't profit them. It doesn't profit them at all. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Have you ever spoke the word to somebody and they say, I don't believe that? I remember years ago, and this so blessed me, when I first met Peggy, it was at the university, Monmouth University, and I was a little 19-year-old, and I went witnessing on the campus, and I went quite frequently, and I'd just go and brought my Bible and I'd speak the word, and I went into the cafeteria, I guess it's the student center, and I was going from table to table, just telling people about the word, and most people didn't even want me to talk, you know, say anything. So I got where she was sitting with a friend, and I don't know what I said at first, but they let me sit down with them. I thought, oh, this is a good move. Now I'm sitting down with somebody. So I started talking, and I was mostly talking to whoever that woman was. I don't know if you remember. And I was speaking a word. I don't know how long I was talking, but at the end, basically she said, well, I don't believe that. But Peggy said, I believe that. I want to know more. In essence, I believe that. And I was like, wow, this is terrific. And she started going to fellowship. But not everybody believes. Some people just say, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. something. Matthew chapter 13. We're all there, I guess, right? Verse 54. This is Jesus Christ coming back to his hometown. It says, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, where hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They had heard about what he had done. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And we know the family. Where the heck did he come from? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of his inability.
No.
Because of their unbelief. Unbelief stopped them from getting the results that are available. First Thessalonians 2, we read it, you know, it effectually worketh also in those who believe. So if we do find those words that are true and reliable, which is the word of God, and then we believe them, we're going to get the results. When whatever he shared with them concerning the scriptures, they looked at, hey, he's Jesus that I remember him in diapers. You know, I'm not going to go embarrass myself and get prayed for and think I'm going to get healed. they just didn't believe what he had to say concerning God's word. And they didn't get healed either. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So it's not just believing whatever you want to state and then believe it. It's like the old saying, I'm drinking her pretty. You can drink all you want. She's not going to get any prettier than she is at the moment. Susan told me the other day, I'm drinking you pretty. I think that's what you said, isn't it?
Yeah, but I forget what it was.
It was a joke, but.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
Straight, I mean, dirty.
You could. 2 o'clock, those lights go on, and you realize, I guess I didn't drink a pretty well. So, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. Great chapter, Hebrews, dealing with believing, the believing that people had in God in circumstances, and this is one of them, about Moses and Israel. Verse 29, by faith, or by believing, it's that same Greek word, pistis. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And we remember the record. You know, the children of Israel were running from the Egyptian army, and they get to the Red Sea, and Israel cries, what the heck did you do to us, Moses? We're now stuck here. They're going to kill us. And God tells Moses to raise your staff and part the Red Sea. And he says, if it was any other color, I would love to do it. But the Red Sea, can't do her. No, that was specific information to him. He did what God said to do, and voila, the waters opened up. They walked over on dry ground. Now, the next group following tried to do the same thing. They went over by dry land, which the Egyptians, they see this happening. They have tried, they essayed to do it, and they didn't get the same results. Because they weren't believing what God said and why those waters were separated. They were looking at it, they can do it, we can do it. They weren't believing in the one true God to keep the water separated. They were believing in their five senses confidence. So, water comes down on them. Same action. Two different groups believing two different things. Isn't that something? So it didn't profit them. Luke chapter 1. So all people believe something. But not all people believe in true and reliable words, which is from God, which are from God. Luke chapter 1. Verse 34. This is the mother of Mary. She was a young girl, young woman, and before she got pregnant with Jesus Christ, an angel comes and informs her what God's going to work with her. And it says in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How am I going to have the Christ child? I haven't even had sex with a man. How's this going to happen? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. If it's God's word and you're believing it, nothing is impossible. If it's your own conjecture, well, this is what I'd like to see happen. Well, chancy. Verse 38, and listen, this is just terrific. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to my imagination.
No.
Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So here the specific information is being delivered by an angel. The announcement that she is going to conceive of the Holy Spirit. Boy, what a thrill that was. And she said, now that's believing. Be it unto me according to thy word. Matthew chapter 14. This is a great one. Now, I know at times through the years we kind of just mixed up some things and thought, well, whatever it is that I think I need or want, all I have to do is believe God for it and it'll come to pass. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. think a lot of times there was a lot of God's mercy in there.
Look, they're trying down there. They're the only people even looking at me. I'll help the guy out.
But what it is that we have to believe what God says is available. Whether it be by the word or by revelation, like we just saw that. And in Matthew chapter 14, great record. Chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus Christ walking on the water. And it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So he's literally walking, you know, everybody else is in the rowboats or whatever, and he's walking. I mean, how often do you see that? So it caught their attention, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answering him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now Jesus got revelation to walk on the water. Whenever, I don't know when, but before his first step, he needed transportation across the sea. He had sent everybody out earlier, if you read the record. And God said, hey, just start walking. So he did. And Peter's like, hey, if it's really you, tell me to come out. It's pretty gutsy to take your, okay, I'm going to get out of this boat here. But he does. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, wow, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, if this was any other circumstance, he'd be sinking, right? But because Jesus Christ said, come, God showed Jesus Christ, okay, tell him to come. He can do it. And started walking. But it's not like you just make up, well, this is what I want to do, and okay, I'm going to believe God for it. It has to be something that God says is available. But, verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little believing, wherefore didst thou doubt? He was walking, but then he got distracted by believing other things, his senses, which was, you know, what the heck am I doing? I'm walking on the water, his ways all over. You know, it caught up to him, and he sunk. Now, I've walked on water. I don't know if you've ever known that. I never told you this story. I walked on water, but the ground underneath was just like an eighth of an inch below the top of the water. I never sank. And sometimes I do it when the water is in frozen state, but never like this. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. How do we believe? We just simply have confidence and trust in the words that are true and reliable. And for us, as we understand, it would be God's word. Romans chapter 4. We can't just make up stuff and then ask God to, you know, make it happen. It has to be according to his word. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. This is, as you know, about Abraham. And chapter 4, verse 19 says, and being not weak in believing, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, as you probably all know, God told Abraham that he was going to have a son, and that son would be the Christ line for the redeeming of mankind. He was a pretty old fella. Sarah was even older. Well, old. She was old. She was beyond childbearing. And it took quite a while. It took decades for it to finally come to pass. And here it says he was strong in believing. It took decades. But he stayed faithful to the promise that God had given. and stayed faithful to it, and it came to pass. Now, if he just thought, hey, I think it'd be a great idea, Sarah, you and I have another kid. They may have a lot of fun for many years, but no kid would come. That would be it. That would just wouldn't happen. But if God says it's going to happen or can happen, now we're talking a whole different deal. Let's go to, quickly we'll go to Acts chapter 29. This is a record about Paul. He was on a ship going to Rome. Tumultuous storm came up. Everybody thought they were going to die except for Paul. Acts chapter 20.
There is no
29. Yeah. Oh, 7. Sorry, 7. I'm making this stuff up as I go.
We believe it.
Acts 27, verse 22. And here's just an example of how it works. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, this is what he told him, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. There's believing. And that's exactly what happened. The ship got wrecked, but all the people lived. Pretty cool. And lastly, we're going to Romans chapter 10 again. So believing is a big deal in God's word. It's a huge deal, but never can be confused with just believing whatever you want to believe to see come to pass. It's, if we're going to believe God, that's what it is. We're believing those things which God has spoken or somehow informed us of, and move accordingly. And how many promises are there? Gosh, lots of them. Lots of promises. So, and it doesn't matter what the five senses looks like. I mean, it didn't look pretty when they were on that ship. If you read the record, they were on that ship for quite a while, and the storm lasted for 2 weeks, and they said that everybody thought they were going to die, except for Paul. And I think Luke probably was of the same opinion. They weren't going to die. And these were sailors and Roman soldiers. Both groups, kind of tough people. Not like, you know, a cruise ship when you got people that may be rocking on the boat that aren't used to being on the sea and they get sick. But these guys were hardened soldiers and seamen. And they said, hey, we're done. We're not going to make it. But Paul believed, despite the circumstances. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we're going to start it again. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We meet that condition, we get eternal life. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, here's a great question, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17. So then faith, or believing, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, it's the word of God that sets the standard for what we do in our believing, or what we are to believe. And that's why we call ourselves believers. Because that's what we do. We hear what God's word says, whether it be from a preaching, or from a revelation, or from an angel, or whatever. We believe what that word says, and then God brings it to pass as we believe. But turning the TV set into something bigger, or that just takes money. A little bit about believing. We place our confidence and trust in the accuracy of the Word of God. And then it's simple. It's as easy as... Brandon, could you please stand up? Did you have trouble standing up?
No.
How come?
Because I can do it.
Oh, there you go. It's as easy as Brandon standing up. It's simple. All we have to do, the hard part is placing our hat on the right ring. If we place it on the right ring, which is God's word, then it's easy. If we place it on other things, we're going to struggle. So, alrighty.